Because it's in the midst of your trial, it's in the midst of the conflict, it's in the midst of the pressure, it's in the midst of the unknowables that you delight yourself in the law of the Lord.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, May 28th, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Loving the Lord. Our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, I have been thinking about what to speak on Memorial Day, and I felt I should do something completely different. Not address the issue of Memorial Day, but just simply to remind you that when you know the truth will set you free. And the end game is for you to live a life that is free, a life that is unshackled by the pressures of life and society. And so I landed on a text from Scripture that I believe is adequate to explain that and to show you the end game of your life and my life as we know the truth that sets us free. It's on Matthew 22, and it's verse 37 through 39. And it says as follows. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God." Let's say it together. Love the Lord your God. And then he goes on to say, with all your heart and with all your soul, and you, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then verse 38 says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And verse 39 adds something to it. And it says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So that's our text this morning. And the book of Mark, he says the same thing, but Mark adds one more. What Mark says is, love your neighbor, love with all your mind and with all your strength. He adds the word strength to it. So we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. To love the Lord means that the totality of your person, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, the total you must be devoted in loving God. That we don't partmentalize the Lord. We don't just love the Lord on Sunday mornings, but also on Monday. Well, tomorrow is a different Monday, but we love the Lord every day of our lives with every component, every part of our being. It's the totality of you. Now, I'm going to, in the next few Sundays, address the different parts of body, mind, soul, spirit, all of that. But just basically today, using a shotgun approach to it, let me just say to you that love needs to be the cornerstone of who you are in relation to God and to people around you. In the Hebrews believed in Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Or another version says, "All the issues of life are resolved." There's something about the internal part of you, the center of you, not the exterior, but the center of you, that is so crucial that it loves God and gets direction from God. When your heart is set right, things begin to develop and change in such a way that you will be transformed correctly. Well, there are distinctions in each one of those avenues of expression. Somebody said the mind corresponds to might and strength. Mind is used in some cases, willful vigor and determination. Genuine love for the Lord in itself is intelligent and has feeling, is willing, and it's serving. And it involves loving God with all your heart, with your whole being. It involves thought. It involves sensitivity. It involves intent, action. The totality of your life. You must love God with the totality of who you are, not just a segment of you. You cannot separate you. You are a unit. You are a person. You're a created being. You as a whole. Maybe the best way to think about it is that just as God loves you totally and completely, we're to return that love to Him. Did you know that there's nothing about you that God doesn't love? He's redeemed you completely. He's forgiven you every sin you've committed. And there's nothing ugly or bad about you. He loves you. And we need to turn to God and love Him with all of our being, with everything that we are in His presence. When you and I really love God, one thing will come up more than anything else. Are you ready for this? Because when you love God, you will do what He wants you to do. Another word for that, but it's kind of a disciplinary word, kind of a harsh word, but I use it anyway because I don't have another synonym. You will follow through, or you will, here it goes, obey. But you don't obey out of condemnation or afraid of being, you know, God coming back at you, but you do because you love Him. When you and I love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with our mind, with our strength, you will trust Him and you will do what He prompts you to do because you want to do it. Because you want to do it. Here's a bunch of stuff. It says the person that loves God will meditate on God's glory. The person who loves God will trust in His power. Those who love God will seek fellowship with God. Those who love God love His law, that is His word. Did you know that you can grieve the Spirit of God? You can work against God in your life. But those of us who love God, you're sensitive as to how God responds to certain things we do. Have you ever been convicted by the Lord? Condemned by the devil all the time and by your own mind. But the Spirit of God brings conviction to your heart and says, that's not right. Those who love God will find this warning signals inside that this is not something that God approves or that God enjoys. And you're sensitive in the right sense of the word to do what is right and not what is wrong. Have you ever thought of loving God by loving what God loves? What does God love? Loving whom He loves. And this one, I think all of you could major, hating what He hates. But sometimes hating what God hates is the things that we do ourselves. My, you look quiet this morning. But we're talking about a life that fulfills the greatest expectations, not just for God, but for yourself. When you, all of a sudden, you get to know the truth that sets you free. Grieving over sin. rejecting the world. Paul said he longed to be with Christ. We've been talking about life and death, and Paul said clearly that to be with the Lord is much better than to be here. You know, some of us don't really want to believe that much. Some of us are afraid to believe that, but you will be gladly blessed when the Lord calls you home, how you're going to enter into his presence. And you're saying, I was afraid of this. To be with the Lord, longing to be with Christ. But I suppose right now, obeying the Lord and with all your heart, saying, yes, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. But even more than that, for you to have this wonderful, loving relationship with the Lord, where you say to him, Lord, this is what I would like to do in my life. Show me how I can do it. Let's work together. Because, see, a lot of times we say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And the Lord says, well, I gave you free will. What do you want to do? And we're stunned. We're stopped. Because it's almost like we wait for God to say something when God is saying, no, you get to decide what you want to do. What do you want to do? He says, to trust the Lord your ways and he will straighten the path. But what ways? Your ways. What do you want to do with the Lord today? What are the good works that God calls you to do? Who are you to be? And how he will help you to become that person that you long to be? Sometimes you may say, well, I never thought about it. Start thinking. What would you like to be? What would you like to do? Get the Lord involved in your life and say, Lord, we'll do this together. And there are so many opportunities to do. You can be a better husband. You can be a better wife. You can be better parents. You can be better children, though they're over there. Well, we got some here. You can be a better business person. You can do a better job at your job. Excel. When I was working in Safeway stores, I think they were Safeway. Yeah, it was Safeway. And I was just starting. We were about to be married a few weeks before that. I was working, and I was a meat cutter. Watch out. I can still yield the. And then they moved over to another place, to packing, which was a lot better, and they paid more. Well, they didn't pay more, but they put me there. And I had to pack meat. And I said, Lord, I've never done this in my life. How am I going to do this? Help me. I mean, those are key moments in our life. See, God cares about those details of our life. And he wants to be involved in your everyday life to help you be the best person you can be. Well, I don't know how, but I began to pack. And within 2 weeks, everybody was saying that I was the faster packer of meat they had ever seen. And unfortunately, I got that position permanently. But it's funny to think about it. But this is what God does when you call him in and say, help me to do what is best in my life. However, sometimes we as Christians forget this great inheritance of loving God and serving God and knowing how God wants to partner with us and how we need to move on. And so Jeremiah 6:16 says, this is what the Lord says, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. Where the good way is and walk in it, then you will find resting place for your souls. There comes a time in our lives where we have to just pause and review our life and say, am I walking in the ancient paths? Am I walking where I should be? Or have I, for reasons that could be understood by God and understood by even by yourself, you walked away, you moved away. You need to return to those ancient paths and see how God really can bless you. And it's an amazing deviation in our lives where we have everything we need and yet we go the other way. And this morning I want you to make a turn and not look at the outside, but look at the inside and ask yourself the question, am I walking right with God? Am I really developing like He wants me to develop? Am I loving God with everything that I am? Another way is, who's running your life today? Who's running your life? It's who's running your life? May I tell you that external circumstances don't? May I tell you that your thoughts don't? May I tell you that your intentions don't, or even your feelings? But your soul, the composite you, that's what's running your life. The totality of who you are. It's another word for the heart. The who you are, something inside of you is running you. It's like a much more than hardware. It's a software program. And it is your soul, your commitment to loving God that correlates and integrates and brings life to everything that's going on in all of the different dimensions of self. And in the middle of your life, your soul is there. You have a soul and your soul is in charge of you. And you act the way you act because some of our soulish actions are not really benign. And that's why we have problems in life. This is scripture I want us to look at on the screen. It's Psalms first, because this is the contrast of a soul that is running right with God, loving God, seeking God. Never perfection. Never perfection. It's direction. Okay, it's direction. So Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man or the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Stay right there. Don't move it. These are the things that those that love God do not do. You don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. You don't stand in the way of sinners. You don't sit in the seat of mockers. Amazing, it starts by saying, this is what you don't do. But I'm asking you a question. Where is your soul this morning? Are you listening to the counsel of the wicked? Are you listening to voices that are not godly? Are you being counseled, advised? Are you being propelled? Is your company with sinners? Do you enjoy the company of are you a mocker? Well, let's go on. He says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on His law He meditates day and night. Look at the soul that is balanced and the soul that loves God. Think of it. You delight. You like it. You like the Word of God. You like what God has to say. And you meditate day and night. It means you dwell in God's Word. You take God's Word at heart. And you find delight. You know, I mean, it's a whole lifestyle. But loving God with all your heart, loving God implies all of this. And it doesn't mean you become a monk or you're sequestered you're still very much alive in the midst of your job. You work with people who are mockers, and you work with people who are scornful, and you deal with people who are pretty rude. But it's in that context that you love God. God doesn't pull you out of the world, but he says, you're not of the world, but you're in the world. It is where you live that you must delight in the light of the Lord. If you're expecting a time when everything will be nice and quiet to enjoy God's word, good luck. Because it's in the midst of your trial, it's in the midst of the conflict, it's in the midst of the pressure, it's in the midst of the unknowables that you delight yourself in the law of the Lord. And you meditate. By meditating, you read God's word. You read. I mean, when was the last time that you meditated on God's word? When was the last time that you enjoyed reading the word? Or is it a task? Or is it a headache? Or is it something that, oh, gee, I didn't read? Or maybe it doesn't even occur. The different levels of knowledge, they tell us. And as we, whatever subject there is, the first level of knowledge is called faint recognition. And I'm afraid that many Christians have faint recognition as to what it means to love the Lord. You remember, but you faintly remember that, oh yeah, the Bible. But Psalms 1 says that this is the person who is blessed because he delights in the law of the Lord. And in the law he meditates day and night. It is not faint recognition. It's not just, oh yeah, oh well, maybe I should read the Bible. It's something that you go to because you have encountered love and you love God. Well, let's read the rest of the psalm. And verse 2, yeah, we read it. He is like a tree planted. It's like a tree. You're not a tree. No sos un tronco. That's got connotations in Spanish when they say it's no un tronco. It's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in seasons and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Good grief. There's a stream in the ground and seen by others, but felt by the roots of your life that yields fruit in season. And the leaves are nice and green and shiny and healthy. And whatever it does prospers. Look at verse 4. Oh, and here you thought if you were wicked, you were winning. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Let me just tell you this something right now, very, very truthfully here. You have free will, but free will has consequences. And those who do not mind God, they will eventually have to stand before God. And those who are not will find out that their lives will just disappear. Look at that. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Verse 5. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Whoa, God watches over your way, my way, the righteous, but the way of the wicked will what? Yeah. And here you're hanging around with people who are going to perish, and you and you vote with them. You identify yourself with them. You hang around with them because you think they will buoy you. There will be buoyers that will pick you up. No. The way of the wicked will perish. Yeah, they'll perish. Well, that's it. You perished. So when you have a well-kept heart, loving God, your soul will be properly ordered. Think of this, ordered, under God, that would result in harmony. I use that word with great caution. But it would be attached to reality, that this is God working. And you will be a person prepared for anything that comes because you are loving God with all your heart, and you are like a tree planted by the waters. And there is an underneath stream that feeds you and takes care of you. No matter what happens up here, your roots are there. So your human spirit, your spirit, yourself, you're in right relationship with God. And God's assisting grace comes to you. And your soul is under the subjection of God. And your mind, your thoughts, your feelings, it all comes together. And you say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. God has done a work in your life. This is another one. When the Lord says something like loving the Lord with all your heart, and your neighbor as yourself. Let me just first say, you have to love God with your body. And we only got one physical body, right? You brought it with you today. In case you wondered, if you're here, it's because your body brought you here. Your body must magnify the Lord. And the scripture speaks about the body and the role of the body in the life of the Christian. You should honor the Lord. You should treat your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit, because that's exactly what it is. You should treat your body with dignity and love. And your body has to come under subjection to the thoughts and the feelings of your soul. One of the saddest things for me at times is when I have seen Christians using their body in inappropriately. Sometimes Christians say, I gave him the finger. That's wrong behavior. You're using your body to express. Yeah, you're using your body to express. Or words come out of your mouth that are unseemly. Words that you would not use in this setting, but you use it outside, like if it makes a difference, you know. Using your body to express what is not right. I can do more, but I'm going to leave that right there. Just so you'll know that your body matters to God, and you don't play with your body. You honor your body. This is why Scripture speaks so much about the use of your body and how you need to surrender your members to God. And then there's this other one, the loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's the idea of having this ability to deal with others as you want to deal with yourself. So that your body and your relationships with people around you function properly under God, and therefore a blessing to people around you. I need to bring down, need to come down. Look, Psalms first. You don't determine. You don't determine your actions based on what other people tell you. Even the greatest brilliant ideas that the world has, you will not accept them. You will not live just with human wisdom. You will find the need to do what is right before God. And when you don't do that, Psalms first, then you catch yourself in an abyss of problems, Because all of a sudden, you will become what is known as an expert scorner, where you scorn people. And you are decided to put everybody in their place. And all of a sudden, you give out doses of contempt for everybody. And all of a sudden, you have lost the virtue of being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says that those who love God, we delight in it, we're thrilled by it, we can't keep our mind off of the things of God. It's wonderful to be in his presence. It's that something that's beautiful, strong, wise, incredible gift of God's mercy and grace. And day in and day out, you just turn it over in your mind, what God has done for me, what God keeps doing in my life. And it's a life of buoyancy. And because you're planted by the rivers, you're planted by the waters, you're receiving strength and nourishing from God. And that's where life is really well oriented. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yeah. Well, I think the result will be in your life and my life a flourishing life. It will be a flourishing life. And I, again, going back to Psalms first, it's that tree planted by the waters that nourish you. And no matter what the surface condition is on the ground, his roots go deep enough that life is there. Let me tell you, all of us will face issues in our lives. All of us. You probably are facing one right now. The roots need to go down. The roots need to go down where the water is. And if you're planted by the waters, the roots will be there, and they will hold you, and they will give you life. They will look at you and say, you're dead. You're not dead. Your root system is there, and God is feeding the root system. All of us go through that. All of us go through huge difficulties. But anyway, the Lord touches you, and whatever you do will prosper because the Lord is like that. And you know, in whatever you do, you will prosper. I mean, God is there, and people say, you're not going to make it. This is not going to do. And yet you just go through it like a breeze, or you go through moments of torment, but at the end of it, you're fine. There's fruit. There's strength. There's something brand new has happened. You've been nourished by the Lord. You've been nourished by him. Dealing with a neighbor, dealing with people around us, when you see someone who's hungry, you will feed them. When you see someone that's thirsty, you will give them a drink. When the person is sick, you will make sure they see a doctor. You don't just simply talk about people's needs. You do something about it. You get involved. It's more than just saying, ya, pobrecito, esa persona. Bueno, vos sabés, es mexicano. I'm saying the truth. Bueno, tú sabes, es así. ¿Qué le vamos a hacer? No, you, when you love God, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you will go out of your way to do that. A church our size, we're blessed because everybody knows everybody, and at the same time, we're cursed because everybody knows everybody. It's a way of saying it, you know. But we are to help one another and bless one another and strengthen one another and understand the value of loving God and loving our neighbor. But when you don't love God with all your heart, when you're not there, that's when the issues come. And you live a life that is not fully developed with the best intentions that God has for you. And I'm asking you to make a commitment to know the truth about loving God and allowing God to work in your heart and be more mindful of Him and seeing how God has blessed you and will bless you, and you can be a blessing to people around you as well. And have certain behavior patterns need to be modified by God's presence in your life. And you need to bring those to Him and say, Lord, these are areas that are hurting me. These are areas that are not productive. You may need to make some decisions that sometimes our bad company is a real problem. Sometimes we have, quote, friends that will bring us down. They're being sent there by the emissary of the enemy to just throw us down. If you don't think that's true, do believe it, please, because there are some people who have an assignment to deter you from being a witness at your place of work, and they will come to you, and they will be your buddies and your friends, but they're in reality trying to put your message, your witness down. You need to approach people that are not believers with the truth of Jesus Christ. You're not to isolate yourself from people that don't know the Lord, but you're there as an emissary of the Lord, not to partake of their sin, be part of the scoffers. But you're there to witness for Him as a person who's been ordered correctly. His soul is working right. You're loving God with all your being, and therefore you're emanating life from the Lord. You can't be buddies with the world. You cannot love the world and love God at the same time. You can't do that. There's a conflict. There's a short circuit. There's a problem there. And some of us are struggling with our life, our personal lives, with issues. And we have things inside of us, and we know how to get rid of them. You do it by loving God with all your heart and making decisions that you need to cut certain things in your life. And if you don't, then you don't. Because the Lord will never take away your freedom. You're a free agent. You have free will. But there's a price to be paid with free will. There is no such thing as a free lunch. Eventually, you're to be brought to an account. Because this is God's universe, by the way. God made this. And God set the rules. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. But this is His universe. This is how He set it up. And we go back to the Garden of Eden, and God created man and woman and gave them authority to rule the earth, this, that, the other, whole thing. And then, they disobeyed God. They did what they shouldn't have done. And then God comes and says, where are you? Well, I'm always amazed at how God, the free will He gave to Adam and Eve. People go back and forth. Commentaries are good, but I don't read them too much. They sometimes harass me. But anyway, the whole idea is that God could have prevented Himself from knowing that, saying, "I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to be involved in what they do because they have free will. So I'm going to ask them, where are you?" God asking you this morning, where are you? In spite of what you've done wrong, He still is interested in you. He says, where have you been? And of course, we're hiding. Yeah, we find out we're naked, And I said, who told you that? So God's involved. He's so involved, He sent His Son to die on the cross for you and for me. Then if you believe in Him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. God is not done with you and me. God is working with us. And you and I need to develop this heart, this desire to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our being, and living right for Him. Well, so we need to leave it there. And we'll get back to some of the thoughts in the next weeks to come. I really feel it's important for us to make sure that your soul is pitted right before God, that you will love Him and that you will say, Lord, help me to love you. Help every part of my being, love you, Lord. And show me areas in my life that are not loving. And it's going to take you the rest of your life to walk it through. Because every day you find areas in need of God to touch you. But it's a wonderful discovery of God interested in your life and my life, walking together so that we can love him with all of our heart and for our soul to be ordered so that it will bring fruit, so that it will prosper, so that it would be a life that is fulfilled in the Spirit of Christ. Well, now we should have an altar call, everybody, with anointing oil and a couple of gallons of swords. And let us pray. So, Lord, we know that you've given all authority, you have all authority in heaven and earth. And you've given us a commission, Lord, that we may become disciples, followers of Christ. And, Lord, we're just that, Lord, this morning. We've asked you to come into our life. We've asked you to give us a new beginning, and you have done that. And now, Lord, help us. Help us to live out, Lord, that call. Help us to live out what it means to serve you. Help us, Lord, to be planted by the rivers, by the waters. Help us, Lord, to have our soul ordered in such a way that it honors you, that it touches, that we may be in balance in ourselves, in our hearts, and that we may be able, Lord, to offer you our love as much as we are able to love you, Lord, and that we will fall in love with you, Lord, and that we will have this desire to hear your voice, to read your word, to meditate in the word, to become triumphant people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Shall we stand? Amazing love. My King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you. We'll see you. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.